Hello, my name is Delphine Gomer. I'm a research assistant on the Our Voices 2 programme. Today I am joined by Dr. Isabel Brody, Senior Research Fellow at the International Centre, researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire. Isabel shares with us key findings from a scoping review of the literature, which she conducted with colleagues from the International Centre on the participation of young people in child sexual exploitation services. The review was conducted as part of the Alexi Project, a service development program funded by the Child Sexual Exploitation Funders Alliance and evaluated by the University of Bedfordshire. The program was designed to increase the capacity and coverage of specialist voluntary sector CSE services in England using a hub and spoke model. So hi, Isabel. Thank you for doing this podcast with us.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
So to begin with, why is it important to look at the research evidence regarding young people's participation in CSE services?
Well, I think that throughout the history of the development of CSE services and also the history of research into CSE services, participation emerges as a really important theme. Professionals have always understood that in order to help and support young people who've been abused through child sexual exploitation, that they've needed to find ways of enabling them, facilitating their access to an engagement with services. How to do that, the best methods of doing that, how that fits within the wider pattern of service provision has always been important and an area of debate and discussion. So consequently, it was important to examine what evidence we had in terms of research and practice knowledge that related to participation. This was a very timely moment in the context of the Alexi project, which was interested in practice as well as a hub and spoke overall service model.
Great, thank you. And what different models of youth participation in child sexual exploitation services did you come across?
It's probably important to say that we were looking at all the research evidence in relation to this. So we undertook a structured search. It wasn't a systematic review of the literature, but it did have systematic features. And in terms of models of participation, I don't think we found very much evidence at all. We found evidence of practice and of an interest in this, but there is very little evaluation of different models or structures that facilitate youth participation in CSE services. There is, however, evidence of different activities and practices. So we find that there is a broad recognition in the literature that we have to find ways of making services accessible, and that fits with other literature regarding the experiences of young people and services. So literature about young people and homelessness, young people accessing education support, young people who are looked after. In all of these areas of literature, we find that it's important that structures aren't rigid, that that we recognise the realities of young people's lives, and we make it possible for them actually to get in the door of services. Mm. So when we talk about participation, it's not just about what happens when the young person actually gets inside. It's making it possible for them to get inside in the first place. And that might be about organisational features of the service, it might be about opening times, it might be about the actual physical environment of the service, it might be about its location, it might be about its reputation in the local community, then it is also about what the young person experiences when they do get get inside the door. And this is where it's hard to talk about models of participation, because the literature emphasises the very much more issues about the style and approach that is taken by practitioners as they work with young people. And that is about individual characteristics of friendliness, helpfulness, not being shocked by what young people are telling them. But it is also about processes of working. It is about the involvement of young people in the individual decision making about their lives and about what's happening to them in terms of their exploitation and what's going to happen in response to that. And it's also about the degree to which they influence the running and working of the service. And that's probably where there is a distinction in service approaches, how far along that spectrum young people are actually given power and are able to influence what happens to them as individuals and what is actually happening to the service that they're working with.
And what conditions need to be in place to make participative working possible and effective for different groups of CSE-affected young people?
I think that's a really, really important question, because I meet lots of professionals who are really committed to participation, to making it possible for young people to participate in decision making. But find that very difficult because the appropriate conditions are not in place. These conditions will vary a bit depending on the service context. For example, whether you're working in the statutory or voluntary sector, how much autonomy you have as a professional can make a difference to how much participative working you're able to offer, if you like. But it's very difficult to be participative in your individual approach as a professional unless wider organisational and structural conditions are in place. And that includes, first of all, support from managers, that managers also have the autonomy and ability to support professionals in working with young people in a participative way. So, for example, if a young person has asked for something for a bit of delay, for example, a bit of extra time before they make a decision about something or before a decision is made about what is going to happen to them, then the professional who's working with them needs the support of managers to help allow that to happen, that they're not going to be bound by bureaucracy, by particular timelines that might be in place for the organisation. So that's important. There's something about a commitment being expressed by the organisation in their policies all the way through. How far is the language of participation demonstrated in the organisation, and how far is that on the agenda of broader discussions about the working of the organisation? And that would include consideration of how young people are represented and present in decision-making structures. Also, how far young people are able to challenge and be listened to in terms of what's going on in the organisation. So, you know, to take an obvious example in terms of opening times, if a service is not available to young people at weekends and someone says, I really want to be able to contact you at weekends, is that something that's up for discussion or is it closed down by someone saying, well, we don't do that, that's not possible? So what channels are available for young people to express their views, and are professionals empowered to to listen, to create opportunities and ways in which young people might influence practice. So these conditions are all important. There's also is a question about resources and how available these are. Engaging in participative work is time intensive. It is expertise intensive. Professionals need supervision in relation to this that's effective. That is not easy in a context where specialist services are often working within quite tight financial constraints. And of course, at the moment, statutory services are also being cut or are limited in how much of that time and resource they can offer.
Yeah, definitely. And what evidence did you find on the experience of participation in CSE services and its impact from the perspectives of young people?
While it was not immediately a part of the review, I also talked to young people during the Alexei project about their experiences of participation in services, as well as looking at the literature. And the two chimed together very, very closely. I think that as adults, we need to be cautious of being carried away with the word participation, because it's not necessarily one that young people themselves recognise. What they relate to is the reality of their experience within services. We also have a bit of a methodological issue with the evidence base, in that in relation to CSE, much of the evidence we have is from specialist services. So we need to be a little careful in our interpretation of some of the findings. Very often in the evidence, a distinction is drawn between, oh, well, the service I'm getting now does really involve me. They do listen. It is, you know, what we would term participative. And that is contrasted unfavourably with experiences within statutory services. Now, I'm certainly not drawing the conclusion that, that's not the case, that and very often their experience has been much better. I'm just a little anxious that we don't communicate the message that participative practice is restricted to specialist services. Good practice where young people are listened to, where choices are given, that can and does happen in statutory services as well. So I just want to make that point. Nevertheless, we would conclude from the evidence that the conditions within the voluntary sector are often more favourable to making participative practice happen. And young people do report that have had a very positive experience in specialist services, where they feel there's a much better understanding of what it means to have been abused through sexual exploitation, where staff have often joined the service because they have a real commitment to a participative style of working. And young people say that issues such as, being workers giving them time, contacting them in different ways, being given the opportunity to spend time within the service building without being pressurised to do something or say something or be there because of a meeting or some procedure, that they feel valued as individuals, and that other activities are available to them as well. So young people, don't have said that they don't want to be treated just as someone who's been abused in this way, just as a victim, that they really value taking part in other activities. And the literature, in relation to other types of service, also emphasises that participation in arts-based activities and specific projects that aren't necessarily related to child sexual exploitation are important. Young people also, there is some evidence of how they can work with the tools of practice to make them more friendly and accessible for young people. So risk assessment tools, for example, one piece of research give young people the opportunity to look at and comment on and revise assessment tools, and that seems to me a really interesting way in which young people can be engaged. Young people are, full of praise and admiration for the professionals who work with them and to give them that time. They recognise that their behaviour hasn't always been easy to deal with. They will say, the literature makes clear that young people have an understanding of that process, but value being the perseverance of workers who are able to stick with them and work with them and get them through this, help get them through this.
Thank you. Now, these are all very, very important points. And did you also speak to parents, carers, and other professionals?
Not as part of this particular element of the work, but young people did tell us in our consultations with them that they really valued services working with and talking to their parents and carers and family members. They did feel that that families had sometimes been left out of the equation. They were aware that families were very worried about them and didn't understand necessarily what had happened, and would tell us things like, my worker explained to my mum why this was happening, or she helped my mum and me get along better and agree over things like access to technology. And that is supported by other research that we've done in the International Centre that highlights the importance of work with parents and carers, and that different people need to be involved. Obviously, there may be difficulties at home, and that may be quite a complicated situation, but it should be part of the thinking about how to work with young people as well. And equally, young people were, their peer groups, their wider network of social relationships are important. One of the issues that comes up in quite a lot of the literature is the question of group work. While the evidence is limited on this in terms of actual research evidence around child sexual exploitation, our consultations suggested that that was also potentially useful and something that services should not be afraid of, but should consider as something that can be really supportive and helpful to young people.
And did you come across any particular challenges in relation to participative working in CSE services? And if so, did you also identify strategies to overcome these challenges?
I think this is where conditions become important again, because I think if there's a real commitment to interest in participative working, then the many complexities and barriers can be worked with, worked through. I think as well that participation and as a way of working, it's not something that's fixed. It's very much a process and not a one-off policy document or practice agreement. There will be ups and downs. There will be questions, challenges, changing structural conditions as organisations develop and change. So lots and lots of things are going to happen if you are going down this or travelling this path. The groups of young people will change. Young people who may become very skilled at working with a service, who may have particular talents, who may have become very involved in the organisation of a service, they move on, their lives change as well. So this is very much an ongoing area of work. The challenges are in part structural ones. How can we give staff time? So for example, I mentioned group work. The evidence would suggest that it can be very effective, but it's also extremely time consuming. And practitioners who were part of the Alexi project very much emphasised that. Ensuring that young people are safe within a group, that they get there safely, that they travel home safely, that activities are organised, all of these things, you know, constitute a large part of someone's job. Mm. And so where these are limited or reduced, then that has a huge impact on what kind of participative working can take place. The extent to which other parts of an organisation, for example, you might be working within statutory services as a specialist service. If there are decisions made that assert new rules and regulations, that can have a huge impact. But I think much more generally, there are continual negotiations to take that need to take place as you're working with young people. And that meant that practitioners are constantly having to question and challenge in their work, and that can be very stressful and difficult. So for practitioners and young people, there were ongoing questions about how far other people just wanted to use their stories, or how far the work, the projects that they were undertaking were being treated tokenistically as just, oh, this is the young person's bit of the conference, or this is the young person's project, rather than creating spaces where power could be challenged, where change could take place. And so at times I talk to practitioners within Alexi who felt at times discouraged that projects they'd initiated with young people that they felt very positive about, they felt had been hijacked in different ways or had become tokenistic. I think as well, there was a very common general consensus, and this emerges in the literature too, that if you can treat all these as learning experiences, if you can share that knowledge, share that learning, and not be defensive about it, then that's important. And and that is certainly true in terms of the setting up of groups within organisations, that if they are able to be open to ask questions, to talk to other people who've set up groups, to that accumulated practice knowledge is really important. I hope that answers some of it. There are many, many barriers.
It does. That's very, very interesting. And you touched upon this a little bit already, but I was wondering if you came across any key differences in terms of what participation looks like in the voluntary sector compared with the statutory sector.
Yes, this is a really important theme of the Alexi findings more generally. And if you people are interested in learning more about that distinction, then I'd really encourage you to look at our website and to read the bigger reports on the Alexi project. As I mentioned earlier, there is a bit of a methodological difficulty just in terms of what evidence is available. It does does largely come from the voluntary sector, because that is where specialist CSE work has largely been located. Nevertheless, the key finding from Alexei overall is that the voluntary sector does play an absolutely essential role in providing services that are able to work with young people in a more participative way. It's variable. Participative working is not uniformly present in throughout the voluntary sector, and practitioners within the voluntary sector were very, very clear that they were learning that things hadn't developed necessarily as far as they would like, that there was lots of potential for more to happen, but nevertheless were able to give examples of how young people were present in their decision making, how they tried to offer choice, how that had made a difference to the individual experiences of young people. I think in terms of that organisational opportunity and the support that was given to practitioners to work individually with young people, then that at the present time is more possible for specialist services in the voluntary sector. But it's not easy.
And you mentioned the importance of embedding participation within the structures and cultures of an organisation. Do you have any advice for organisations seeking to do this, seeking to develop a culture of participation within their CSE services?
I'm always a little hesitant to give advice, but because I've not actually had to do this myself, and all my conversations attest to the difficulties. But what I would say is that professionals should have confidence in their own expertise and skills, and the issues that brought them into this area of work in the first place. There is a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and commitment in services for young people to ensuring that they have opportunities to develop as individuals, that they have power, that they have choice. I think that there should be a recognition of how much tremendous work already takes place in this area. I think that, as I highlighted before, participation should be viewed as something that envelops structures and individual practice, that it's something that we must view, though, as a developing process, as a matter of ongoing change and adaptation to new circumstances, and in relation to different groups of young people. They will bring, young people bring to services their skills, their identities, their individuality, and participation is about that interaction between these different elements, what the practitioners bring, what young people bring, what the organisation has historically become, and that coming together with a shared commitment to giving young people power and influence and sharing in that is what will make these positive experiences possible. I suppose the other thing is that simple things matter, that we're not talking about hugely complicated models or learning, that young people really value adults who show care, who are friendly, who are welcoming, who think about the kind of space that they're welcoming young people into. So it's not necessarily about developing some complicated way of working. It is about what, as human beings, we would want any of us when we walk through the door of an organisation or a service.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Isabel. That's a lot to think about.
Yes, indeed.
It's a very interesting conversation. And the link to the Alexia Project website and to the full scoping review of the literature is available on our podcast page. So anyone who would like to find out more about this project can read through those. And thank you again for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for letting me be part of it.
Bye, Isabel.
Thank you. Bye-bye.